This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday,
when Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
You on Joy 94.9, this is the Victoria Police GLOW show. It's actually a partnership show, isn't it, Gabby Tyke, Northwest Region GLOW?
Yes, and with Crime Stoppers, with Joy, with and with yourself. And the Anti-Violence Project.
That's right.
And with everyone out there having a listen to our lovely voices today.
Great ways to communicate. If you have any questions of the GLOWs, questions of the Anti-Violence Project, or suggestions about how to improve this community partnership where you're the key part, feel free to contact us.
And we have a lot to talk about today. We've got an exciting guest.
We do. Welcome to the studio, Anna Brown, convener of the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. Oh,
Greg.
There you go.
Oh, nice to be here.
First time in Joy Studios and we have your mic turned off, but we've solved that problem.
Only a little hiccup.
Now, you've taken over as the leader of the Rights Lobby in February this year.
Yeah, just in the last couple of weeks, really.
Congratulations. And the reason we've brought you in, well, one is because you're a fantastic person and a community leader. Thank you for putting your time in. But the reason we brought you in is... The Anti-Violence Project does the grassroots work of working with police and raising the levels of underreported violence against LGBTI community. The work to lobby is principally the work of lobby groups. And by the title, Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, I think lobby is your role, isn't it?
Lobbying. Yes, very much so. So lobbying and advocating for change. And I guess that it falls on us to really start to speak to government and also raise the profile of issues like homophobic and transphobic violence and harassment within the community and try and agitate for change.
And it's agitation, isn't it? It's about if you chuck a whole heap of jelly beans in the air, while they're moving, people notice them. When they settle, they form a very thin layer and no one actually sees them if they're sort of tucked away under chairs or wherever.
It's all about being the squeaky wheel, I guess.
Yeah. And groups like Anti-Violence Project and many other community groups that hold out a torch for funding will often back off a bit from doing the nth degree of agitation that is needed to achieve what they need to achieve to get funding and to win the day with government. So that's where the Rights Lobby becomes such a pivotal organisation.
Yeah, I guess we don't have any problems in terms of bias or compromise because we don't receive any government funding. That's a situation that hopefully we can remedy in terms of a funding base for the organisation into the future. But at the moment, the lobby is effectively a bunch of really hardworking volunteers that are really committed and passionate about the issues. And I would have thought even if we do manage to get some government funding down the track, we would still continue to have robust discussions with government and not let that have any influence over our agitation.
And that's mature lobbying and mature advocacy in the year 2012, isn't it? It's quite a mature way of doing it, Gabby.
So, and if I was just out in the general public and I had an issue that I thought there needed to be some kind of change or an issue to be addressed by the government, would I contact you if it was a GLBTIQ issue?
Yeah, I think that's it. We're a great first port of call. I mean, there's other organisations out there as well. There's Transgender Victoria and there's obviously Bi Alliance and other specific organisations. But I guess in terms of the overall community, the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby tries to agitate on any issue affecting the community. And then we work closely with partner organisations on those more specific issues.
Very good. Now, a bit of history on that. AVP turned 15 on January 20. And it was probably about 6 or 7 months afterwards that we joined with the Also Foundation, Victorian AIDS Council, and a few other organisations to help set up the Rights Lobby. So you were a bit of a love child in the Anti-Violence Project at the time.
Nice to hear.
And we saw it that we couldn't do the lobbying and really be true to the cause of delivering on violence work. And that's why it's so important that you're here today. And you've continued to be in around about 14 years, I think it's the
I think
the
97 was
our... It was about 6 months after AVP. So it's you'll be coming up to your 15th year, probably about August or September this year, which will be quite exciting. Now, that's the important part of the work. And the fact that you're enduring is even more important. But the police wouldn't normally involve themselves with an activist organisation. However, there's a direct connection between the two of you, Anna Brown, Rights Lobby, Gabby Tyack, the GLOWS, Victoria Police. And Gabby, that happens once every 2 months with the reference group, doesn't it?
Yes, and at the end of the month we're meeting again. So we do have a member from the Rights Lobby come and sit on the reference group, the Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Reference Group. So perhaps at the end of this month when we meet again, I might be seeing you sitting on that
chair. You may well see me there.
Fantastic.
Which is fantastic. Now stay with us.
Joy.
Joy. 94.9.
And you are on the Vic Police GLOW Show. Anna Brown, our guest, convener of the Rights Lobby, Gabby Tyack, Northwest Region GLOW.
You always forget me. I'm here every week.
How can I forget you, Gabby? How can anyone forget you? You're actually the only full-time GLOW that we have in Victoria Police. We've got about 49 other GLOWs that are around the place that are part-time doing fabulous work. But you're it. You're the full-time GLOW in one of the major metropolitan regions.
I am. Hopefully we'll get another one soon. Scott's old job. Hopefully we'll get someone in a similar job as that. And big news.
Big news.
Scott Davis will be with us next week. He's rejoining us.
Who?
Yeah, that's what I say. Yeah, he's been away so long.
Will we recognise him?
I don't know. But he'll be back with us next week, and he's committed to coming on maybe once or twice a month, hopefully twice, but definitely once. So we haven't seen him in so long, so we'll have to catch up on all his news.
A tweet from Paul from Caulfield wondering if Scotty's going to be bringing his ukulele in. Paul,
don't remind him.
It could happen. It could happen.
Don't give him any bad ideas.
If he brings it in, I'm leaving.
Now, Anna, we heard recently about that hate bus in Queensland. What did you think of in the Victorian context?
Well, I saw that truck, and interestingly, I mean, we probably all read about it in the gay press. I saw a comment by a reader that said, why aren't the police prosecuting these people? Why isn't anything being done? And unfortunately, in the Victorian context, we don't have any legal protections against this sort of conduct. Or arguably, if the hate truck's bad enough, but if someone actually went around handing out pamphlets inciting hatred against members of the GLBTI community, then there's actually no criminal offence that's being committed, as far as I can see.
Unless if the language uses, perhaps it uses swear words or words that are offensive language. Yeah. In that case, there may be room for police to prosecute.
I think
we have a new prejudice motivated crime strategy, which does address those sorts of issues. So we are working towards ways of dealing with these things.
I think the police is doing some great work in that area, and we do have in Victoria. The former Labor government introduced reforms so that if homophobia or transphobia or racism is the basis for a physical assault or some other crime, then that's an aggravating factor that's taken into account in sentencing. Mm. So there is some, I guess, recognition in the law in Victoria that identity-motivated crime should be frowned upon and denounced and treated seriously. But we don't have... protections for hate speech in the same way as we do in other areas like racist and religious.
We saw that being tested in the Sunshine Court back in probably October last year with the four men. It was three brothers and a mate that were involved in a homophobic assault of two Sydney men on Sydney Road almost 12 months previously on New Year's Eve. And the two men sustained a vicious assault where two guys in a car were then phoned up their brothers in another car who came and joined in, and it proceeded along the road at a number of locations. The provisions kicked in. They did get the hate provisions extending the penalties as they were. Only one served a jail time. I think one had a suspended jail time. The other one served jail time, but he was one that absconded from the court case. So when they actually caught him, that elevated his penalty even further because he tried to evade going through the court process. And that's probably the first time we've had the hate provisions seen in sentencing. Mm. But the risk there that I found, Anna, which I think the Rights Lobby should take on...
I'm taking taking notes.
It was about the use of language, where people that are subjected to vilification, hate speech, that 70% of which, from statistics show, go on to being physical assaults. It's where the victims use hate speech to try and protect themselves or to try and attack back at the perpetrator. From the magistrate's comments, it was very lucky that the victims in this case buttoned their lips and didn't actually speak out. Had they spoken out, it almost would have been provocation in a way, and would have perhaps lessened the hate provisions in the magistrate's ruling in that case. And I reckon there's a body of work for the rights lobby to do around that.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And that could be simple as education of magistrates, or perhaps discussion of real-time court cases that are flowing on after that decision. It's certainly, it's a message out there. Joy runs the cloakroom at Greyhound, and last Friday night at 12:20, I've just left the cloakroom helping out with Joy, and a carload of hoods goes past, three drag queens, gay boys dressed up as drags, and one of their mates coming up the tram tracks, and the language was just appalling. And then not only did they go past, but then someone else walking up Brighton Road started mouthing off at them. And I'm thinking, Please don't speak back. I'm just consciously getting that message from don't speak back. If that car came back or that man ran across the road and in any way they've used language back at the person, that in theory could pose a problem if you're trying to prosecute a person for assaulting you for hate crime.
That sounds pretty troubling to me.
So there's a body work for the rights lobby. What do you think? If you've got any other suggestions of work the rights lobby could be doing, 0427 569 949, which is 0427 JOY 949.
But Greg, when that happened, did you end up contacting the police or recording a description of the car or getting a registration or anything like that and following up?
I got my little camera out.
As you would, I know.
Yes,
you would.
And I actually shook. When these things happen, you can't sometimes keep a bit of a stilly nerve, and I got a bit of a vibration happening in the hand, and I blurred the bloody number plate. All I got was the last digit.
That's all right. You tried. And so, that's what we always encourage. If you contact the Violence Project or the GLOWS or the police and let us know what's going on. You could have called 000.
I rang 000. I gave them a description of the car, description of the second man on the street, and I also logged on with my smartphone to the AVP website.
Very good.
And so the time's recorded through the AVP website at antiviolence.info. I did all the bits you're supposed to do. But the perpetrators were off and running.
Because too often in our community we think, well, that's just what happens as part of being GLBTIQ. That just happens to us. And we don't have to put up with that kind of behaviour, and that's why we encourage people to call us, call 000.
Now, there were people at tram stop as well, some straight people at tram stop, and they say that they always ring police when they hear homophobic abuse around particular pubs in the area, gay pubs, the Greyhound or the Prince of Wales. So it's really nice to see this community partnership building where the broader community, the heterosexuals, the friends, the family, the allies, or just the neighbours are actually getting off their butts, ring 000. They've never heard of the Anti-Violence Project, so those ones are now a bit informed, but they ring police and say, hey, this is happening. Do you think that's something that could be explored by gay community, Anna, reaching out further into broad community?
Well, I think that's critical to the success of our mission, is getting our message out there to the broader community. And, we see with the marriage debate, for example, that groups working together to get the message out to build support within the mainstream community is absolutely critical. So the Labor Party's worked really well internally to create coalitions between not only GLBTI groups such as Rainbow Labor, but other groups within the party, for example. That just sprung to mind, but I'm sure there's other good examples out there of that sort of collaboration.
And how are you going? Do you expect to be invited to get to meet the new Attorney General and rub shoulders with him and perhaps discuss some of these rights, fundamental issues of rights and the law in Victoria?
Well, I certainly hope so. We'll be writing to him to seek a meeting. We'll also be writing to the Premier, and I think Mary Wooldridge yesterday, when she launched Private Lives 2, was very impressive and said some fantastic things about the community and about the importance of dealing with the issues affecting us. So I think she's another good candidate and another potential champion for the community and a good target for the lobby.
Now, I know you have to run, but did you want to make any comments about the launch of Private Lives 2? You had a few notes you wanted to share with us?
Well, I think I'll leave it to you to dissect it in detail. And I'm even happy to leave my hard copy with you if that helps. But I guess, it's disappointing as always to see that we see that the levels of abuse and discrimination faced by the community are really affecting the health and well-being of our community, and it's that link between discrimination and the disadvantage that makes it all the more important for us to be dealing with these issues. So that's why we see the evidence base in private lives too, and we not only have a good source in terms of our lobbying activities, but we also have an additional reason to be further impassioned and inspired to continue our work.
Good to hear. And it's the gaps we want to explore from Anti-Violence Project with the Rights Lobby. If you're young, if you go to school, if you're in the workplace and young, particularly if you're young, you have a lot more protections, a lot more evidence coming from the bodies of work such as Private Lives too. If you're out on the street, if you're living in relationships in the suburbs, if you're recreating, if you're straight and you're walking through a park and you get mistaken for being gay by bashers, you don't have any outcomes coming yet from government or outcomes proposed through the bodies of work that we're seeing today. So there is some work to be done. And look, we look forward, Anna Brown, to working with you as you're the convener of the Rights Lobby. How should people contact the Rights Lobby?
Well, they could probably start with our website, which is www.vgrlr.org.au. I don't know if I got that right.
Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, VGLRL.
.org.au, and they can email us through that website. They can subscribe to our email newsletters, and I'd certainly encourage anyone interested to find out more, get involved. We're always looking for enthusiastic and willing volunteers, and we look forward to building on the work of the lobby this year and trying to get some runs on the board.
Thank you so much for taking time to join us on the Vic Police Glow Show. This is a partnership show between the Victoria Police, Anti-Violence Project, Crime Stoppers, Joy 94.9. But Anna, it represents all the people that the Rights Lobby works with. It's you out there in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex community. So thanks, Anna Brown, for joining us.
Thank you.
Victoria Police, Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer, Crime Stoppers, Joy 94.9, and Anti-Violence Project Show, weekly show here at 12 noon Wednesdays.
We've got our Crime Stoppers Crime of the Week. Between midnight and 1:30 a.m. on the 7th of February, three men attended at a residential address in Druitt Street, Oakley South, and knocked on the front door. The victim answered the door and was allegedly grabbed by the men, who were armed with a taser, a crowbar and a hatchet. The men forced the victim and his roommate into the living room. One man kept watch over the victims while the other man ransacked the house. The men made their way through each of the four bedrooms and stole several items from each. The first man is described as 23 to 24 years old, about 183 centimetres tall, has a medium build, dark coloured eyes and an olive complexion. He was wearing a long sleeve top, pants and blue gloves. He had the lower half of his face covered and was carrying a hatchet with a red handle. The second man is described as about 188 centimetres tall, with a solid build and a large stomach. He was wearing a hooded ski jacket and dark coloured pants. He had the lower half of his face covered and was carrying a taser. And the third man is described as about 183 centimetres tall. He has a medium build and was wearing a hooded top, had the lower half of his face covered and was carrying a brown crowbar. And we've released images of two men whom we believe may be able to assist us in our inquiries.
Now, just as any gay and lesbian person will attest that a home invasion is one of the most awful things to take place, where people come into your space, your private space, these three men are alleged to have actually, on 7th of February, gone into a person's home in Oakley South. And I think this will resonate with everyone in the gay and lesbian community, particularly those that live in Oakley South or Caulfield or Chadstone in that particular area. So I'd be saying, get out now, log on now from work, check out the Crime Stoppers website, look at CA6113. It's time for us to stand up in our communities and lead people trying to find these particular perpetrators and have the ability of police to interview them.
And we've got an image that was taken from, must have been somewhere nearby, which shows half the face, and it's actually the lower part of the face of one of the offenders, or one of the alleged offenders. And we've got a face fit image, which one of the victims has put together, which shows the top half of the face. And for myself, and probably a lot of people, that you usually remember and recognise people's eyes and eyebrows. So there's a very good image there. So get onto the website and have a look. These men have to be stopped. It's a very serious crime, a very terrifying crime to be put through. And if they've done it once, it's quite likely they'll do it again, and make sure you're not their next victim.
Let's step up. And remember, if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You're on the Victoria Police Glow Show with Gabby Tayac and Greg Adkins, and we're just going through our Crime Stoppers crimes of the week.
Now, we have a Heidelberg West armed robbery. Now, Heidelberg West, for those of you that are new to Melbourne, is out sort of Rosanna Way. It's McLeod, Rosanna Way. And on the 23rd of January at about 2012, at about 3 p.m, a man attended the Olympic Village bottle shop in Moresby Court, Heidelberg West, where he approached the front counter and he allegedly produced a knife, threatened a staff member, and made demands for cash, cigarettes, and alcohol. This man is described as African in appearance. He is about 185 centimetres tall and has a medium build. So in the old scale, that's about 6'2", and he has a medium build. Police have released images of a man whom they believe may be able to assist them with their inquiries. He has quite a distinctive T-shirt with an emblem on it, with a number 3 on the right sleeve. You will recognise these men. The pictures are brilliant, aren't they?
They're very, very clear. So if you see him walking around or you know someone who matches that description, have a look at CA6118, and it might be this person you know, or maybe he catches the train with you or the tram, or you see him shopping once a week. Just check it out and hopefully you can identify him.
Now remember, if we, anywhere in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex community, if we see something, what are we going to do?
Say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Joy 94.9. Our Glow Show is Victorian focused. It's about you and it's about the Victoria Police partnership with Joy 94.9, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project, and the community.
Now, every week we have Vic Police News, and we're leading up to the Easter holidays. Well, I think a lot of people are on holidays now, and we're leading up to Good Friday and Easter Monday, so a long weekend for other people who aren't able to take the 2 weeks off. And the road toll is something that we talk about a lot because it's really always there. And at the moment, this year is the worst road toll we've had in a number of years. So on Monday, Victoria Police launched We Are the Toll, because this year's predictions of the final road toll, as it stands at the moment, could be 30 to 40 more deaths than we had the previous year.
Do you know what? I've been tracking that all the way through because it impacts our community, the gay and lesbian community as well. They're our brothers, they're our sisters, they're ourselves that are losing their lives or getting injured. And the number of people of injuries, severe injuries, for every death, there's X number, maybe 3.8 people that are injured seriously in road crashes and trauma. And it impacts our community.
It does. And sometimes there are things that you couldn't have done any different because there was a fault with the vehicle. But so often it's just because of a little bit of inattention or someone's a bit too tired and they've had one of those micro naps. Just distracted driving, just simple little things that we do every day. You know, you might have been driving into work this morning and having a coffee, and so you're not really concentrating on the road because you're enjoying your coffee or you're changing the station on the radio. Some people are even doing their lipstick and hair, which is, you know, pretty terrible. It's using mobile phones, not wearing your seatbelt. You get into your car every day and you should be sitting there before you turn the engine on and thinking about, okay, I want to make it to my destination. I want to make it alive. I don't want to hurt or injure myself or anybody else. And all I have to do is make sure I concentrate for that entire time of the journey. It's not much to ask. And I think that we should all be making an effort to do that.
Thank you, Scott Davis, for listening. Looking forward to being in the studio next week. Tune in, you'll hear Scott Davis. Now, in particular, I've watched Scott as he drives. He's been very kind to pick the Anti-Violence Project up from the Glen Waverley Police Station to take us to the Police Academy for Community Accountants on many occasions, where we help train the Victoria recruits with other community leaders. And you're very particular driving, Scott. You will never touch your mobile phone. You won't be distracted by inane conversation from community leaders in your car. We appreciate that. But it's really important, Gabby. It's a focus that Victoria Police have, and it's Easter. The road toll is far in advance of where it was last year. And what's the name of the campaign again?
We Are the Toll, because we are the road toll. It might be you, it's someone you know, someone related to you, maybe the next person who is a statistic in the road toll. So get on to, there's a Facebook page, it's called We Are the Toll. If you get on and have a look at that, you can make comments, you can share stories about your experiences with safe driving, or maybe your experiences with losing someone because of someone's distracted driving.
Great point. Now, stay with us. We had Anna Brown, convener of the Rights Lobby, the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, earlier on the show. Stay with us. Anna, Gabby Tyack and myself attended the launch of Private Lives 2. We're going to pull some of the really interesting pieces of that that relate to the work the Victoria Police does, the Anti-Violence Project does, and the impact that impacts directly the lives of you people. So stay with us on Joy 94.9 Glow Show.
You're in the Victoria Police Glow Show, and we're continuing on with our crimes of the week. At about 7:40am on the 26th of December last year, it is alleged that a man had an altercation with a bus driver at Preston Railway Station before getting off the bus and smashing a window as it drove away. We've released an image of a man whom we believe may be able to assist us with our inquiries. And as per usual, Greg, it's a very good image. We've got this man walking away from the bus station or the railway station, and he's wearing a large, thick jacket, I'd say, with perhaps an orange scarf. And there's an image with his cap on and with the cap off, so you get a good look at his face and
well,
his clothing.
Well, we want to thank him too. After his aggression, his alleged aggression, he's come off the bus and he's puffing his cheeks out. He's exhaling his breath. Thanks very much, facing the camera. We really appreciate this man doing that, because this fantastic image that you're going to view at Crime Stoppers at CA6148.
You recognise him.
You will recognise him, and you'll assist the police to have a conversation with him about criminal damage at Preston Railway Station on the 26th of December.
And we've also got a wanted man. Where is Marcus John Humphrey? It is alleged Humphrey was involved in an assault in Melbourne in April 2008, and warrants for his arrest have been issued. He was born on the 21st of November in 1973. He's 6'2", thin build, brown eyes, brown hair, and a ruddy complexion. And if you know someone who has that date of birth or that name or matches that description, get onto the website. We know who he is, we just don't know where he is, and we need your help in locating him.
If you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You're on the Victoria Police Glow Show with Gabby Tyack and Greg Adkins from the Anti-Violence Project, and it's a partnership between Victoria Police, the Anti-Violence Project, Joy and Crime Stoppers, and of course you.
That's right. If you've got an idea about another name we could call the Glow Show, let us know. There's a part of this show once every month. It's called Lesbians Matter. But can you think of a new name for the show? Maybe you want to share it this week, share it into next week's show, and perhaps bounce it off Scotty Davis when he comes into the studio next week.
I know he's thinking about it. But we went to something really exciting yesterday. We went to the launch of Private Lives 2.
Private Lives 2 is the second body of research done by Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society, which is part of La Trobe University, which is also where Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria sits.
Yeah.
And the people that do the work are part of that, Liam Leonard, Anne Mitchell, the fabulous Anne Mitchell. Headed by the director of Arches is Dr. Marion, and her name escapes me, fabulous woman that works in maternal and child health as well. But they're all out there from La Trobe Uni. And yesterday, Mary Wooldridge, the Minister for Mental Health, was there to launch this body of work, alongside Jeff Kennett, the chairman of Beyond Blue, Warren Talbot from the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Intersex Health Alliance down from Sydney, and a whole range of people, including Kate Carnell, the incoming, I suppose she's the CEO of Beyond Blue. She was the chief minister of the ACT at some point, and she's now come to Victoria to take on the role working as CEO under Jeff Kennett as president of Beyond Blue. And something rang a bell with you. What was the thing that actually jogged your passion for this research?
One of the key findings, and it's also come from other studies, was that community connectedness and social inclusion are key determinants of health and well-being. And I think that's why we do a lot of the stuff we do, Greg. And it links back to the AVP Connect project that you're working on, that no matter where we are, we need to be linked in with our own community, and we need to have support services that we can turn to in our own community so that we do feel connected. And a lot of the time we find that there aren't the appropriate support services available for people, particularly in more rural areas. And something that we need to work on, and we have been working on, to make sure that we can provide that to people.
And part of the announcement by the Minister yesterday, there's a $4.1 million spend for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex mental health. And part of that, they've already announced, and funding came out to organisations like the brand new Zoe Bell Gender Centre that now has, I think it's about $40,000 or $50,000 developing a project that's going to look at the work they do. But there's, you know, work done for Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria. There's Safe Schools Coalition and Minus 18 benefited from that first round. But she announced a further seven types of grants for organisation. And the best part for this is, and it's really good, that it's again focusing on the mental health outcomes for young people. So this research talks about resilience, it talks about impacts, it talks about connectedness, it talks about the evidence behind, the builds that body of evidence of what's happening to gays, lesbians, bisexuals, transgenders and intersex people, not just here in Victoria, but the sample was taken from around Australia. And that's the good part, young people. But the body of evidence also included fabulous data around violence, what's happening in people's lives. Compares the first private life study done in 2006 with the private life study of 2011 published this week. And the levels of violence include verbal abuse, they include harassment. So 25.5% of all the people in this survey had experienced verbal abuse. Harassment, 15.5% that experienced harassment, such as being spat at and offensive gestures. Threats of physical violence, physical attack or assault with a weapon, that's being punched, kicked or beaten, it's 8.7%, almost 9% of people have experienced that type of violence. That's roughly 9 out of every 100, almost 1 out of every 10 LGBTIQ have experienced it. And a whole range, you'll see there's a whole range of types of violence that people experience. The differences are in this, when you look at trans community against gay men and lesbians, male and female population, it is over double for trans female, for trans males, or almost double, and slightly less for trans females. So the trans community, again, experience verbal abuse far greater than the same population of gay men or lesbians would experience. And that's extraordinary. That actually sets a body of work that justifies the work that the AVP does around trans inclusiveness. So that's fabulous. We've got some data. It levels out a bit when we talk about threats of physical violence. It drops. But in some, for trans females, it's even greater than trans men, and it's almost double that experienced by the overall population. So there's some fantastic trend. Go on to the Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria website, which is glhv.org.au, and you'll be able to navigate to this private lives report.
And these stats we're looking at right now were only taken from what had occurred in the last year. So that's quite interesting. They're all very relevant recent. And recent.
That's right. Check it out. If you forget that site, glhv.org.au, you can go to the antiviolence.info site, and we have links to take you to this fabulous treasure trove of archives that GLHV has set up. You can go through there. Now, we're drawn to the end of our show, Gabby, for this week. Next week, we'll have Scott Davies.
We will, and then it's Lesbians Matter, our third show, and we will be having guests in because it's National Youth Week that week, so we'll be having Minus 18 and a few other people talking about young people in our community.
And this week we had Anna Brown, co-convener, or in fact the convener of the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. She was on board, came and discussed with us the Rights Lobby. Fantastic connection. We did some fantastic Crime Stoppers. Check out the podcast. It goes up on joy.org.au/podcasts, and we'll see you next week, Gab.
And thank you, Mason, for the podcast.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.